Greetings, nerds. This is Cena Nerd. I'm your host, Sarah Belmont, and with me, as always, is our Mr. Producer, Will Polk. How are you doing tonight, Will?
Doing well, and it's Marvelous Monday.
You always say that whenever Marvel drops news and then we record.
Yeah. I did not expect that today. That was quite the nice little drop thing to see whenever I open up the cesspool of Twitter on Monday morning.
Yeah. I didn't open Twitter. I opened YouTube and then I got a little bit bored at work and I started to realize that something dropped and there's something though that disappointed me because when I searched YouTube for this trailer, it was conveyed to me as a Eternals teaser, which it was.
Yeah.
But and I think it's great to have that whole to pay respect to Stan Lee and the story that we've all been a part of for the last decade, more than a decade.
Yeah.
And I think that's great. However, yeah. I clicked because I wanted to see more. Like, that teaser was seriously a teaser. And they're probably holding back. They're probably not going to get something until the end of the month. But I definitely want more.
Yeah. Oh, I completely agree. And like you said, I wasn't expecting that to drop today, but then of course I was looking at the calendar. I was like, oh yeah, this is like the anniversaries of all those great Marvel things, and you know, so it was a nice, you know, looking back, but then just to look ahead as far as Phase 4 and the Eternals, I mean, it's just epic. I still haven't watched Nomadland yet, and that's a film I do want to check out, just a little teaser trailer in and of itself was like, oh yeah, I could only imagine how good Nomadland was and how this film was going to be. I mean, it's just wow.
yeah. So we're getting Black Widow in July, Shang-Chi in September, The Eternals in November, Spider-Man in December, and then we're getting next year Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever, Captain Marvel 2, The Marvels, and of course, because this is Phase 4 after all, we have to tease Fantastic Four.
Exactly. We gotta tease that.
And John Krasinski and Emily Blunt better be.
Yeah, all the fan casting is definitely going to become true with that. But yeah, but you know, I know whenever we were talking about this today before the show, how you had noted that every other month or so from now until basically 2023, we're going to be getting a Marvel film like every other month. When you look at the calendar, it's just like, you know, because we'll get Doctor Strange, and then of course we have Thor in May of next year, and then we have like Black Panthers in July, and then the Marvels in November, and then, you know, a sprinkle throughout that, we'll have the TV shows on Disney Plus.
Right. Don't sleep on the TV shows, because that is the content that we've been provided early on this year, and it's stellar content.
Yeah.
And I think I made this comment on podcast. Going from being able to, on a weekly basis, have an hour or maybe a half hour with these characters and this story, to just getting a 2-hour meeting movie, I question just kind of like some disappointment, just because it's 2 hours at the end of the day, or 2.5 depending on how long, but. But still, like, there is something to be said about weekly entertainment. And especially when it's when the quality is on par with Marvel quality.
Yeah. You're right. It is, the bar has been set so high with the TV shows and even the films, you know, as the franchise has matured.
Right.
Over it, you know, it they really even the Ant-Man films have their strong points, just because of very strong casting and good direction. So I mean, they're really hitting on all cylinders with this franchise now.
Yeah, it is interesting though, because you put some notes on the rundown about Rotten Tomatoes Screen Rant article on top 10 current live action superhero shows. And I'm looking at them, and what it shows is the show name, the critic score versus the audience score.
Yeah.
And the overall trend seems to be critics love these shows.
Yeah.
To the point where they put them on God tier. Audiences very much consistently like, it's all right.
Yeah.
I mean, the closest one I would probably say is The Boys.
Yep.
Doom Patrol, not enough people are watching. That's the only reason why there's an audience score of 70.
Yeah.
Same with Black Lightning. Not enough people are watching because it's not good. Okay. Yeah. Did beat Supergirl, thank God.
Well, that's a very interesting thing. So, yeah, so just to give folks a rundown from 10 to 1, and these are getting live action, so I made a point to put that because I know folks will be like, what about the Invincibles, or what about Harley Quinn? And, you know, they did not include animation in this article from Screen Rant, where they looked at the top 10 shows. So Superman and Lois, which is new, was 10th. DC Legends of Tomorrow was 9. Stargirl was 8. The Flash, 7. Falcon and the Winter Soldier was 6th. Supergirl was 5. The Boys, 4. WandaVision, 3. Black Lightning, 2, which was really surprised me. I didn't realize that its critic score was that high up Rotten Tomatoes. And then Doom Patrol was 1. But you're right. It was like the only one on this list that where the audience and the critics were about synced were The Boys. And then I was curious, I did look to see what, for example, why like a show like The Umbrella Academy, which, you know, did have a lot of buzz audience wise where it ranked. So its audience score was 87, but the critics score was like only 80. So like The Boys, it was, you know, that was where there was a where the audience and the critics were sort of close, but it was the one show that the seemed the audience score was higher than the critic score.
Very, very interesting. And especially Falcon and Winter Soldier. I thought that a lot of people were watching it, and WandaVision outscored audiences wise that. But then again, those shows, very good.
Yeah.
Different peaks and valleys, I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think WandaVision started slow towards then as it built, it really built. And Falcon and Winter Soldier, it kind of like, it did this weird thing where very high bar set initially.
Mm-hmm.
Then it like peaked. And then I'm not going to say it slumped, because it didn't slump. It just went down just a little bit, and then it ended.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say it plateaued. I think plateaued. Yeah, I think that's a safe way of. I think it's safe to say that, and because I think the finale, it was compared to the WandaVision finale, I felt that the Falcon and Winter Soldier finale was better between the two of them. So, but I think WandaVision was, I'll try to keep my own biases out of this, but I felt like for some reason it started off slow for some people, and for other folks they were just so starved for MCU content that they could have just like had paint dry on the television screen, and folks would have been like, "Oh, it's the best thing ever." So I think WandaVision may, over time, as we discussed last week on our podcast, over time, we'll really get a sense of like which one of these two shows, at least the first two out of the gate with the MCU, which one has the staying power and the rewatchability factor as well.
Right. It's all about the rewatchability factor. And on that note, it's another thing that dropped today was the announcement that Stargirl Season 2 has a release date of August, and yet it's been renewed for a third season.
Yeah. It was some concerned fans out there, at least on some of the message boards, and it was whether or not the show would get a third season. Mm-hmm. But I guess the CW is a little bit different than some of the other networks. They do tend to renew shows very early, so that, you know, we're not left waiting until, you know, the upfronts to find out what's been renewed and what's not been renewed. So, I like Stargirl Season 1. I am curious to see if the quality of the show remains at the level it was when it was on the DC Universe app, or does it become kind of cookie cutter CW DC show.
Yeah. I liked Stargirl. And we'll get into the other DC shows. I'm not going to go there. Another thing that dropped in TV, the content is coming, Will. We've waited so long, and then we're just going to get hit with 47 million things because we finally get to see a trailer for Stephen Amell's Heels project, which is set to debut on Stars on August 15th. I like this trailer.
Mm-hmm. I did too.
Was not expecting it. For some reason, I had an entirely different concept.
Yeah.
It felt very Friday Night Lights.
Yes. That's a very good analogy. I was like that as well. I thought it was just going to be a lot more WWE kind of flavor. Mm-hmm. And this show, yeah, it's really seemed very grounded and very, like you said, Friday Night Lights or shows in that lane where, you know, Stephen Amell's character, you know, after we're so used. The thing that really stuck out to me in this trailer was, I felt like I was actually watching a different character instead of Oliver Queen. I mean, I really felt the Steven in that trailer, and I think they really, I don't know if it was the way they cut it or what, but they were really, knowing what we all know, they really had to make the point that, hey, this you're just not getting a rehashed version of a character that you've seen for many, many years on the CW. And I felt that this trailer did that.
Yeah. I wouldn't go that far for me because I may not see Oliver Queen. I definitely see Steven.
Yeah. Well, I mean, granted.
Because there was a point even in Arrow where I wasn't watching Oliver. I was just watching Steven.
Yeah. Fair point. I mean, yes, we do know that. Yeah, he was moonlighting quite a bit in the ring while he was on the show. But I think the dramatic beats were the ones where, you know, whenever he was like, "Look, I'm a lawnmower repair salesman," he's trying to convince, you know, his family about allowing him to restart this this local wrestling show that's, you know, in Duffy, Georgia. So, you know, it was just like, you know, and it reminded me of like seeing some of the local cable access wrestling shows here locally, where back in the day they would, you know, they would be like the, you know, as folks worked their way up the ranks. And that's what I kind of got that vibe from this show too. It's just like, oh yeah, we had this, you know, we had this wrestling league in our neighborhood, and it kind of went on bad times and stuff. We're going to build this thing back up.
Yeah. If anybody's curious about what Will is describing, I think a good tutorial is the movie The Peanut Butter Falcon.
Hmm.
They touch on that kind of underground wrestling scene. Other non-superhero related but TV news, Alexander Skarsgård will join the season 3 cast of Succession, which this just further proves we're going to get a season 3 eventually.
Yeah.
So great news there. DC fandom announcement with a 2021 date.
Yeah, it's going to be October the 16th.
Awesome. Hopefully it's more like the first fandom and not as much like the second fandom event.
Yeah. So I have to ask you what, doing the lawyer thing, ask a question I already know the answer to. So what's the big thing you want to see out of the fandom event?
So I'm going to do the devil advocate thing where I'm thinking about what you think I'm going to say, which I think I know what you think I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Which I wasn't going to say that because I don't need more the bop bop. I really, honestly, I haven't watched that trailer in a while, which is a good thing because the more you watch that trailer, the more you're like, okay, I see what's going on here. I honestly don't. I want something to, whether it's a TV show or a DC movie, that's not the Batman. And that's the only way you can pronounce that title, by the way. I don't know if they told you guys that at fandom. They told me that, though.
Okay.
But I want something to come out of the woodwork and say, Sarah, you need to be a fan of this and get on board with this because this show or this movie is going to change everything.
Black Adam.
See, that I don't think that project can do it because I still don't believe it's like to go to the other piece of news we got to cover. Yeah. When I heard Noah Centineo left a project, I was like, I knew it. I'm going to tell Will he left. But no, that wasn't the movie he left. He left the Masters of the Universe film that I'm pretty sure majority of us had forgot they even announced that he was cast. And that was, I think, pre-quarantine or maybe.
Yeah, it was like 2 years ago. Yeah.
Oh, man. So, but maybe, just maybe, fandom is going to have a Green Lantern tease because Finn Wittrock has been cast as Guy Gardner in the HBO Max series.
Yeah. That was some news that dropped, I think, Friday that he had been cast. And, of course, I think a lot of folks know him from American Horror Story. And this the Green Lanterns, whenever they first announced this series, I was, wondering where they were going to go with it. And it looks like it's going to be more of an anthology type of show. Given that there's been so many different people to play, to have been a Green Lantern, and really get into the core, the Green Lantern core itself, because in addition to Guy Gardner, which was thought that was interesting coming out of the gate, that was the first casting they announced. I guess they're still, but I think they're going to start with Alan Scott, who was the Silver Age Green Lantern, and then work their way forward, but. This is basically HBO Max is going to just become the hub of, it's going to become the mega DC hub. I mean, even the CW shows may end up over there at some point.
Well, hopefully it'll increase the quality.
Yeah.
I mean, you definitely, if you go from CW to HBO, you have a different target audience.
You do. Well, and also even, talking about going back to our Rotten Tomatoes, listing. I mean, for example, Superman and Lois. It definitely has more of a HBO DC universe vibe than it does traditional CW. For example,
because it's dealing with adults.
Yeah. Dealing with adults and adult problems, exactly. They're not dropping any F bombs yet, but you know, it's only a matter of time.
I'm sure Jordan's gonna drop an F bomb eventually.
Yeah.
He's gonna use his powers and be like, "Fuck."
That'll be the extended cut that you can only see on the CW app.
So many freaking extended cuts. Speaking about CW, Will, I know you've explained Force Wars to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know you talked about how it's interesting Flash is doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying this season is as bad as last season. I definitely don't think that, because there was an episode that I think even you kind of walked away from during the first half of last season.
Yeah.
I definitely did.
But
I am still struggling with the Flash, and I always go back and forth where I like an episode and then I don't like an episode. I like an episode, I don't like an episode. I was surprised by the Chester episode.
Yeah, I was too.
Because I was thinking, oh, this is just going to be a filler episode. But as it progressed, I was really entertained by that. But then what I don't like is then all of a sudden the following week, no Chester. I'm like, yeah. And then the whole Frost storyline, like, seriously? and there was also something I noticed in the last two episodes, because the last two episodes had a lot to do with Barry, his mom / Speed Force.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it very confusing how in one episode Iris tells Nora, no, Barry finds it comforting that you have taken the form of Nora. And then the very next episode is all about how Barry is actually kind of uncomfortable about it, because at the end of the day, he grew up without a mom for most of his life, and mm-hmm. now all of a sudden she's everywhere.
Yeah.
So I was just like, you made it a point to have Iris say that, and then you completely contradicted her in the very next episode.
Well, even in that, I mean, when Iris said that, I mean, Barry was looking at her like, what the hell are you saying, woman? I mean, because...
He was in a coma or something, though.
No, not this... But when it came out of it, I mean, I know there was the whole issue with him having to, they had to put him in stasis because of the issues that happened with the Mirror Universe and all that kind of stuff. But once he did come out, and then Iris was like really encouraging Nora Speed Force to come.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With them and all those kind of things, he did have a look on his face like, are you serious?
Right.
And so, but to your point, I mean, it's funny how in typical Flash fashion, I mean, they did go from very like, it's a bad idea, to like, oh, I'm loving, yeah, come on, we can make this work. And, you know, the quick resolution, and, you know, which... You know, that's just to be expected with this show. I mean, I just know that's just baked into that's just part of his DNA at this point. So.
So what are your thoughts about the Flash this season?
Like you, the Chester episode, actually, that was the episode where I was like, I like this character now.
Mm-hmm.
It really was like, why did it take them so long to like, to give us this? Because because beforehand I just felt like he was just Cisco light. Whenever they needed to send Cisco off to Atlantis, then they'll just have Chester play the guy in the chair with the wisecracks and names and all that kind of stuff. But really getting into his background and about his father, and building it around the whole Force Wars storyline, I thought was to me that was one of the highlight episodes of this season, even with the sometimes contrived 90s bits. Where the 90s stuff normally would have taken me out of it, the storyline with Chester was strong enough that it didn't bother me.
Yeah, which is what a time travel episode is supposed to do, where you get some nostalgia, some cliches, but the overall heartwarming message or there's an emotional beat mm-hmm. that makes a storyline. And I think part of the reason why that episode works so well is because the Flash does time travel really well. Mm-hmm. But because Barry has screwed it up, it's kind of like we put him in jail and said, even though your show works really well with time travel, you can't fuck us up anymore. So, just stand still, Barry.
Go through your box. We'll knock you out. We'll do something where you just can't mess things up.
Can't mess things up. Well, maybe he could mess things up for the better. And I'm not going to say for the better because I just across the board, I feel this way about pretty much the entire CW lineup. That woman isn't even working for me at the moment. Mm. And it's nothing to do with Batwoman herself.
Well, I guess one last little point to close before we close out the Flash. And I want to hear your thoughts. I'll post this to you because as we were talking about WandaVision earlier and people atoning for their crimes. Mm-hmm. So whenever, and I know I had bookmarked this to talk to you about this a few weeks ago, and I wanted to hear your thoughts about it now, comparing how now we have Frost being on trial for her, the things that she did in prior seasons, and do you think we will have some accountability? And I wanted to juxtapose that with the ending that we saw with WandaVision, where she had her, she was basically free to go after taking a whole town hostage. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that, because I know we didn't have a chance to really talk about it before. So,
right. You give me way too much credit to think that I paid that close attention to the Frost storyline. Frost storyline ended for me in the Kevin Smith directed episode in season 3. Mm-hmm. Mic drop. No, I honestly don't. I have given up, and you know me, Will. I naturally go into these things with low expectations.
Yeah.
And yet, they just make me lower them even more. I think that there's going to be some loophole that's going to get pulled, but I don't believe in accountability. I don't think, because we're dealing with a character who they could have made a really fascinating villain, mm-hmm. and they made her into an anti-hero, and then they made her into a split personality, and now they made her into a double, and now she quote unquote will have to face consequences for her actions. I don't buy into it. Why would they have made her a hero only then for her to have to atone? I don't see them doing that.
Fair enough. And I mean, I feel the same way. I was just curious to see if you had a contrary thought, but I was frustrated by that. I guess that was the last episode before we went on hiatus with them, And yeah, I thought the whole Chilblain, everything about that episode was just like, you know, y'all were hitting good cylinders, and like you said, then they were kind of, it was kind of like, it was good. There were other parts of the story were more interesting than that storyline to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on White Mask?
White Mask. Batwoman. I had forgotten that the show was coming back this week because yeah, the way their crazy scheduling happens. And by the way, The Flash returns tomorrow night as well. It was a serviceable episode. I liked aspects of it. I see the potential here with what they are doing with reintegrating Kate as a brainwashed Kate and Black Mask using her to exact revenge on Batwoman 2.0 and the Crows. I thought that the episode has given Alice purpose again.
Okay.
Because again, and even though it's a different actress, I think that then, you know, obviously I think Alice on some level recognized on those through the fighting style or what, but maybe that she knows this person from somewhere. So, and another thing too, that will probably happen is obviously with these, you know, whenever you have these brainwashing things, you're going to have those memory fragments starting to come back. So, mm-hmm. So when we do start to get Kate coming out of the brainwashing, and her interactions with Alice in particular, I think there's some good story beats that they could pick up from the first season where they really, you know, had that relationship be the foundation of the show, move that forward in a different way.
Right. I just want to say, I told you so. I knew it. I knew as soon as Roman brought up his daughter a few episodes ago, that was somehow going to be like the new Kate King thing. Yeah. And that's what they're doing. They've used Enigma to brainwash her and thinking that she's Roman's daughter when really she's a deformed Kate Kane. Mm-hmm. They still need to explain why Kate. They did not do a very good job about explaining exactly why Kate, and he clearly has a vendetta against Jacob or Commander Kane because he's gotten Commander Kane on Snakebite.
Yep.
And I agree with you. This episode is not bad at all. It's very serviceable. It pushes a lot of things forward. It sets us up for like the remaining part of this season. I thought it was very, very strange how White Mask was like, "Where's Batwoman? Oh, here's Batwoman." And then she fights her. Alice comes in, hits her, saves Ryan. Ryan bails, but it was like White Mask let Ryan also just leave. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wait a second, who are you after?
Right, yeah, that's a good point. Whoa.
you could have just, after you finished Alice, you could have just gone up back to Ryan because Ryan was still out. Like, what's happening here?
Yeah.
It's so weird. Yeah. It was, and there was another awkward part of that sequence where Ryan, has to like slide underneath a gate.
Yeah.
And then White Mask just walks around it.
It's dramatic effect. Stunt person's got to earn their pay this week.
well, I understand that. Why the heck isn't the editor cutting out that? Like, zoom in on Ryan. I was just like, really? You left that in there?
Yeah, that was Yeah, that was a bit. That was an odd editing choice there for sure.
Well, yeah, there's just continues to be these odd choices. But I do think that in a way, this is, like, to your point, a step forward for the season. And it allowed more screen time with Alice and Ryan, because I think that's why Alice wasn't working for so much of the season, is because she's a nemesis. Whether she's an anti-hero or just a plain villain, she, at the end of the day, she needs to have more interaction with maybe Batwoman or just Batwoman's team. Like, yeah. She can have her own storylines with Mary. Having her so separated for most of the season, I think that's why it's kind of left us be like, Alice, just go away.
Yeah, yeah.
Wallace Day, really glad the casting choice because of our favorite show, Krypton.
Yep.
But, overall, and then the Sophie stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Which Sophie's team Bat.
Yeah, which we did call that one. I mean, it was so telegraphed too. I guess that's the thing that Sophie would basically have to figure out a way to wipe the record. But I think that piece was telegraphed for sure. But they salvaged it some with her discovering that Jacob is on Snakebite, and then. The other aspect of it is when Sophie tried to talk to Mary about it,
right?
And Mary was in disbelief.
Yeah, yeah. The Mary Jacob storyline, and now it's kind of integrated Snakebite into it. Mm-hmm. I keep thinking, and this has been me since day one of this show. Who the heck is Mary's biological father? And how is he going to come? Because I know that's a card. That has to be a card they are purposely withholding. And I'm going to be so fascinated when they play that card. And they better play it well.
Season 3, 4, 5. Yeah.
So Will, catch us up on what's happened with Freeland and Black Lightning.
Yeah, yeah. So I know we had the painkiller backdoor pilot a few weeks ago, which it was, I enjoyed it. You know, I think we talked about it on our previous shows that it was a good introduction to the character. And we got to see him actually in this past week's episode. So basically, it's hard to believe this show only has, like, I think 4 episodes left, including tonight's episode that just aired East Coast time. And so Tobias, of course, has basically been setting everything up to ruin Jefferson. So. Where things stand now, Jefferson is being investigated for embezzling money from Garfield High, and the FBI shows up at his house to serve a warrant, and so Jefferson's Tobias is continuing to undermine that, and then Tobias is also buying up properties in Freeland, including Jefferson's dad's old property, to build new housing, and for people who were displaced during the Markovian and ASA conflict in Freeland. So Tobias is doing all these things to look like he's the knight in shining armor, doing all these great things for the city. All the while, he's been plotting on how to end the Pierces and the Metas. And so Gamby's girlfriend, not Lynn, who was working on a device, directed energy device, came up with some tech. And Lynn, also with her being a geneticist, was able to target the Meta gene and basically create a device that basically suspends all metas. And it was, they first discovered it in a prior episode where Glenn and Gambi had Gambi tested this drug, tested the power on himself. And the reason why they used this was they're trying to figure out who was the actual person who assassinated the mayor, because the police, because Tobias basically framed Lightning for the assassination. So they figured out, you know, so they figured the gene out and stuff, and so there's that piece. At the beginning of this week's, of last week's episode, Lynn was having nightmares about freeing the Pierces, the meta Pierces, of their metagene. And then and it, of course, when they were, whenever she administered the drug to them, had horrible effects, killed them all. And of course, she woke up like, oh God, what did I do? And she, you know, and she went to the counselor to talk about that situation, to get some advice on how integral, you know, the Pierce family is to the Freeland, and their being metas are to, you know, keeping crime and stuff down. So there, you know, so there was that aspect of the show. Really, got a little nod to the League of Assassins this week, where Ishmael, who the gang that was taking on Lala's gang as far as to control Freeland, was hired this guy, this assassin named Ishmael, and basically his goal is to kill all the Pierces, because if he does, then he'll get entry into the League of Assassins. So so he and Jefferson end up getting into a fight, and while all this was going on, Lightning was put into a trap as well, where the police took advantage of her social media account. That, you know, again, we talked about that earlier this season, about how that social media that Lightning had set up was definitely going to cause problems, and of course it did. And so, but Lightning was able to get out of it, flying up in upper atmosphere. And so while she's flying in the upper atmosphere, and while Jefferson's fighting Ishmael, the Tobias executes the program that turns on the dampening field for the metas in Freeland. So all the metas' powers were like completely shut off. So Jefferson's in the middle of a fight, and then all of a sudden he's like, with this assassin, he's like, you know, powerless. Jennifer is up in the air. It comes crashing down. Thunder is also in a situation where, you know, she's lost her powers. TC, the guy who's always helping Gambi out in the lab, also lost his thing, so he can't, like, you know, interface the internet. So it was just like, and that was the cliffhanger at the end of the episode. But the real thing that happened at the end of the episode was the other one that definitely left a lot of people talking this week was Lynn was arrested for civil rights violations because of her experimentations on people, Tobias in particular. And there was a scene of her having to, you know, she was getting processed and getting strip searched and had a, you know, body cavity search. And there was a lot of discussion among the Black Lightning fandom as far as, you know, was that exploitive in that scene, or is it just how grounded this show is? Because, I mean, even Jefferson had a similar experience at the beginning of, I think, the third season with this show. So, you know, I felt when I watched it real time before I seen people's reaction on it, I was taken aback by it. But at the same time, I did think about different, you know, how grounded this show is and how they take on all kinds of different stuff. I mean, we've talked about that this season with Black Lives Matter and other things. So it was consistent with what they've done to date. And you know, and like I said, it's hard to believe there's only like four episodes left in this series, but they did use Painkiller in this episode too, and really showing the good how Khalil has come to terms of how to use the Painkiller persona with that, that was programmed into him by the ASA, to basically whenever he needs to, you know, whenever he needs to be smart and very tactical, you know, it's the Khalil side, but when he needs to be the enforcer, then he flips it over to the Painkiller side. And it was a very little funny bit where they were trying to get some information from one of, Tobias's toadies, to get information to help the Pierces out. So, and how they played the two sides of Khalil and Painkiller work to get that evidence from that individual. So, you know, this show, I really hate that it's like ending, because I feel like it's really starting to hit us. I mean, it's always hit a stride and it's always been very entertaining, and it's not one of those things where, you know, when I'm watching it, I watch it, I don't start getting distracted by other things. So I just hate that it's ending, but, you know, maybe Painkiller get picked up and maybe some of the characters will, you know, do cameos in that series if it gets picked up from the backdoor pilot. But that's the sort of Black Lightning roundup.
All right. It is crazy. 3-4 episodes left.
Yeah.
Will, why don't you tell our listeners where they can find you?
Yes, you can find me at Will M. Polk, WillMPolk.
You can find me at SJ Belmont, SJBelmont. Please follow our crew on Twitter at Scene and Nerd. Friend us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram. But most importantly, rate, subscribe, comment on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Good night, geek out. You're welcome.